Free trials, flexible terms, force majeure. What do these terms mean and how do you put them into practice in your managed services business? Today, we're going to be talking about these and more topics on today's episode. I'm your host, Charles Weaver, and you're entering the MSP Zone.
You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Good day, everyone. We have an exciting episode today. We are talking to noted managed services legal expert and aficionado, if I can call him that, Rob Scott from Scott & Scott LLP, who's going to be spending some time with us today talking about some of the more common tactics, legal concepts, and I don't want to say tricks, they're not tricks, but legal tools that MSPs can and maybe even should be using or at least thinking about today as we deal with the pandemic and what looks like, you know, the gradual reopening of our commerce globally. So, Rob, I'd like to welcome you to the program. Welcome back, I should say.
Thank you, Charlie. Great to be with you.
So, Rob, I think basically we've got a lot of stuff to tackle, so I'm just going to go through this in kind of order. And these are not in order of importance, I might add, but we're just going to be talking about some general principles. Some of them are fairly legal principles. Some of them are just general business principles. But we're going to get your take on some of these. And let's start with, you know, free trials. And this is maybe more of a new business tactic, I would think, rather than an existing business tactic. But what's your take on whether MSPs should be using free trials as an incentive to get new business in the door during this time?
Well, I think that the key is to lower the perceived risk on the part of customers, to allow them to say yes to something getting started that doesn't lock them in a way that they're concerned about given the uncertainties in the marketplace. And so whether that's a free trial or a proof of concept or a long-term contract that has an easy and early exit, any strategies that you can create that allow companies to say yes to moving forward with deals that have been sidelined as a result of the uncertainties created by the pandemic, I think are excellent ideas to allow customers to be put on in terms of services to get deals moving, even if you have to do things that in prior market circumstances you didn't find necessary or desirable. I think anything that you can do to reduce the perceived risk on the part of the end user customer are all good ideas to implement at this time.
So you and I've had this conversation many times. What, if any, risk should the MSPs be looking out for if they have a free trial, meaning they've taken on responsibility for managing a client's IT assets, but they may not have a financial relationship with them yet? You know, could you walk them through what things they should be thinking about for implementing a free trial?
Well, absolutely. I think the best analogy is to what you see with the car companies offering people the right to take a car and not make a payment for 90 days. It's really, you have all the risks from a legal perspective that you would if it wasn't a free trial. The only real difference is that, you know, there's a timing of payments for the customer and maybe even a lack of commitment on the customer's part. And so some of the risks that are inherent in such a transaction are you can't look at the fact that the customer is not paying, at least initially, to avoid getting all of the necessary contracts in place. So you're still going to need all of your terms and conditions, your master services agreement, a description of the services as they would exist after the trial. And so just because you're not charging doesn't mean that, you know, you're not responsible. You could theoretically, in a free trial, have a data breach that you're legally responsible for answering for, even though the customer didn't pay you anything yet. The other risk is if there's implementation costs, which there typically are, that you're waiving for the free trial, you might want to recapture that if the customer at the end doesn't want to go forward. So, for example, if your normal implementation fee is $1,500, you may say, we're going to allow you to come on. We're going to allow you to try the service for 90 days. It's risk-free for 90 days. However, if you don't want to move forward with the contract at that time, we want to recover our implementation fee. So the risks would be all of the risks that you have in performing managed services for customers that are paying, plus some business risk associated with the fact that some or many of the customers may decide not to move forward after the proof of concept or free trial.
So we're not talking about no contract, right? Free trial is not no contract. So we're still talking about getting paper, getting it signed, but thinking about the when the payments start, and you said, I think a really good point, recuperation of project or implementation fees should they decide not to go forward. I mean, we're not talking about just doing a bunch of free work and all the risk is on the MSP here.
That's right. And you know, I look at the proof of concept or a free trial as creating more paperwork, because you need all the standard paperwork that you would use to sign up a paying customer. And then you also need to describe the terms of the proof of concept or the free trial. So your point is exactly right. This isn't a way to avoid paperwork. This is a way to create a limited period where the customer is being offered flexibility, being offered a way to get started without making a long-term commitment. And the idea is, you know, again, going back to the car analogy, you know, in uncertain times, the car manufacturers are going to say, buy a car, we'll give you 90 days to pay your first payment. In a lot of ways, from just a pure business perspective, what we're talking about here is very analogous. Lowering the perceived risk of the customer to entering into a deal today that they might otherwise want to sit on the sidelines for to see how things pan out over the next few months.
So that brings us to terms, like flexible terms specifically. And we've had some confirmed cases and reports from MSPs who've said, you know, they've had certainly projects, which is a little bit outside the topic of today's episode, but certainly managed services agreements that might have changed in terms of the term, the duration of the agreement. What advice, Rob, would you give to MSPs who are looking at modifying their existing managed services terms during this period?
Well, I'm a big fan of managed services providers standardizing on a 3-year managed services contract that is not cancelable for convenience without a termination fee as expressed in the liquidated damages provision. What I'm suggesting in these circumstances is that if you have customers that are reluctant to sign on for multi-year deals, to consider offering more flexible terms, including possibly even month-to-month for a period of time, and also to perhaps loosen the typical provisions that I recommend on the customer's right to terminate for convenience. Because again, in a world of business uncertainty, long-term contracts with significant liquidated damages clauses for customers who want to get out are going to be more difficult to sell in an uncertain economic situation than they would be, for example, before the pandemic occurred. And it may be in the best interest of client of MSPs to offer month-to-month services, maybe not at the same price as the 36-month service. So I typically tell my clients that month-to-month should be at a premium of 20% above the 36-month price, but why not offer a month-to-month option that's at a premium to the 36-month option, and or give clients the right to get out of a contract for convenience if it's no longer good for their business based on economic uncertainty that may materialize for them in the future, that they would go with you month to month, or they would go with you if you let them cancel for convenience. But given the circumstances today, they're just reluctant to sign up for a long-term deal because they're still evaluating, like many of us, what will be the actual impact of this pandemic on their business.
Yeah. So this is really good. So in both of these scenarios that we've just talked about, we're not talking about removing contracts. Let's just be clear to everybody listening, right? Rob is still saying use a contract. In fact, always use a contract, but have some flexibility built into your sales process, maybe with the terms, maybe with free trials, as ways to get more customers in the door. Rob, what happens if they're in the middle of a managed services agreement, right? An already signed paper, and the client, as many of them probably have, come to them, again, not forgetting project work, but a managed services contract, and they've had closures of, you know, maybe a few branch offices, or they had to let go of some people or furlough them. What advice do you give for MSPs there when they're mid-contract?
You know, I think that, you know, regardless of the legal circumstances, I think it's important to, you know, to the extent that we all can, that we treat our customers, you know, as, you know, others, you know, in a shared world with common goals and common struggles, and that to the extent that we can, we trade easy with them if they've been adversely impacted by this situation. So I think regardless of what your contract says, you know, go with your gut, go with your business judgment, go with your moral compass on how to deal with customers who are coming to you with needs that have arisen as a result of the impact of the pandemic. You know, that being said, it doesn't mean necessarily that you need to bear the brunt of any economic impact that may have. So, for example, if you've given a client a substantial volume discount and that client needs to come back to you and say, I need to reduce quantities, I've had reductions in force, I would say it's a good idea to work with those clients, but you don't necessarily have to honor the volume price when they float down. You know, I think that regardless of what your contract says, work with everybody as a friend, as a colleague, as a partner. Beyond that, you know, the legal points that are implicated in a question like that are, you know, what does the contract say about the ability to float down? Many times, you know, managed services contracts have a base that you can float up and down from, but can't go below. So that would be a factor to look at. Obviously, you know, if the client has the right to terminate for convenience, they have a much stronger bargaining position in a situation like that than they would if there was no termination for convenience. So, you know, these would be the factors, you know, purely legal factors that one would need to look at in evaluating from a contract perspective, you know, what rights the customer has in a situation like that. And that's where the legal issues would come in. But I think that, you know, a customer affected by the pandemic and how to treat them, that's more of a pure business issue initially. And then obviously the customer contract would guide the relative rights and responsibilities of the party.
But you would recommend having a baseline master services agreement, service attachment template that has some flexibility built into it. It sounds like that's kind of where you're headed.
Yeah, so for new contracts, I actually do recommend that, for example, if your typical contract has a base or a floor, that you start to write in a business downturn provision to allow customers to resize the contractual commitment in the event of a substantial decline in revenue or significant reduction in force. I've used these downturn provisions for many years. You know, I'm old enough to have, you know, been involved with many clients in the 08, you know, to 10 time frame, where there was a lot of, you know, downsizing and a recession. And I think being proactive with customers to offer this type of flexibility really does reduce the perceived risk of the contract. And the reality is, if a customer that was a good customer really had a significant business need, you as a partner would probably agree to these kinds of things anyway. So why not go ahead and set forth, in light of the pandemic, in the light of the other strategies that I'm recommending to reduce the perceived risk on the customer's part and to get deals done and to accelerate your sales pipeline, why not offer a business downturn and other flexibility that allows more customers to say yes? So I am advocating that in new customers that MSPs consider including business downturn provisions or float down provisions that might not have been standard in contracts. In fact, I wouldn't have recommended them in contracts prior to the pandemic. But in light of the circumstances that we're facing, and if your goal is to get sales in an uncertain time where customers might otherwise be sitting on the sidelines, a business downturn provision is the type of provision that can help customers feel more comfortable in saying yes.
So we're going to talk about force majeure in a little bit, because I know that that's going to be a big question in a lot of MSPs' minds today. But before we get there, I want to talk about mergers and acquisitions, because I've had a lot of MSPs, you know, call and email and ask us, hey, what's the market looking like, right? How is this impacting valuations? I've heard of some non-MSP deals that were kind of put on pause or canceled. What guidance or advice would you give the MSPs listening about the state of mergers and acquisitions during pandemic?
Well, I think that anytime you have significant disruption in financial markets, significant issues with liquidity, potential for defaults on notes, that this type of financial transition can give rise to significant M&A activity. And I think that as MSPs, we should be thinking that, you know, some or many of our clients may be purchased or may be purchasing. And we want to make sure that those that are contemplating M&A, that we have contractual provisions that they feel comfortable will not interfere with their business strategies at that level. So we want to be offering contract terms that, whether our prospective customer is going to be buying or selling, that the terms of the contract really address their needs from a business perspective, because if they are contemplating a sale or a purchase and the contract that we provide to them doesn't adequately protect or contemplate what their plans are, that would be a negative aspect of them being able to say yes to our deal. And in times like this, we're trying to eliminate as much as we can that would get in the way of the yes. And so first, it's important to understand that, you know, many of our clients might be in this situation. And then secondly, to figure out what types of contractual provisions could we include that would make them feel more comfortable about going forward with the deal.
Sounds like we might have to have a future episode just talking about M&A, because I think that there's going to be, I think you're right, there's going to be a lot of M&A activity, but it's all going to be within different ends of the pool within managed services. And so I think there, you know, you've always been a staunch advocate of getting managed services relationships on paper, right, in a contract form. And I think you and I both believe very strongly that those paper documents bolster the valuation of MSPs greatly. And that seems to be very consistent with your advice here today, which is be flexible, modify if you need to, but do so within the confines of the agreement, and make the agreement be as flexible and serving your ultimate business goals.
Absolutely, Charlie. You know, and you and I both know from experience that most MSP deals are asset purchase deals. And the most significant asset that's being transferred by the seller are the customer contracts. And, you know, for those reasons, you know, you have to really focus on making sure that every customer has a contract and being very deliberate about what those contracts say and don't say.
So that brings us to force majeure. So for those of you who never went to law school, don't understand what that means, Rob, this could be a 4-hour lecture, but or discussion, but we don't have that much time. But let's talk generally about the main issues. Like, what is force majeure for those audience members that don't know what it is, and how does that impact MSPs, and what should they be aware of as it pertains to force majeure during this challenging time?
So force majeure clauses are rarely heavily negotiated. They define the circumstances that would constitute a good cause for a party's failure to perform under a contract. If you've read contracts in the past, you've seen sections that say acts of terrorism, natural disasters, and other acts of God would be included in the section that says, you know, notwithstanding anything in this agreement, if one party or the other can't perform because of these things, it doesn't constitute a breach of the contract. And so what I'm suggesting adding going forward, you know, to clarify actually that, for example, a health crisis or a pandemic outbreak or a national or international health emergency, that those constitute the types of acts of God that have been traditionally contemplated in force majeure clauses. And in our contracts today, we're specifically adding language around that, you know, specifically saying that virus outbreaks, pandemics, and other national and international crises constitute force majeure, you know, constitute grounds that would excuse one or the other's party's failure to comply with the contract if that were the reason for the failure. And you can imagine, for example, if, you know, technology service providers were not deemed essential in the context of, you know, some of the regulations that have been passed during the so-called lockdown, you can imagine that, you know, the government could impose rules on service providers and or customers that would make it very difficult for them to comply.
So you're just talking about the ability of the MSP to perform and protecting the MSP in a force majeure situation where, but for a you know, they're deemed non-essential or they can't go to work or they can't do something, they are not going to be held responsible for a contract's performance under that situation.
That's correct. So whatever you include in the definition of your force majeure clause, if those things happen and those things are a cause for the MSPs, for example, failure to deliver to the service level objective because, you know, they had lack of people because the government said their people can't work or whatever, that would be an excuse, that would not legally constitute a breach of the contract.
So if you're an MSP out there and you've got that 20-year-old managed hosting agreement from 2000 and you've never had it reviewed, you've never had someone who knows managed services law before take a look at it, now might be the time for you to give Rob a call and let his team look it over, because I know in other sectors, right, the restaurants especially are dealing with a lot of force majeure related insurance claims, and that's another topic for you and I to tackle in the future about, you know, insurance and how does insurance factor into times like these and pandemic. But might be a good time to have your contract reviewed, you know, and updated, especially now. And Rob, it sounds like there's like multiple things that are very pandemic specific that you would have MSPs, even that had agreements drafted in the last 5 years, like brushed up on today.
Absolutely, Charlie. We've covered several of those today, but there are many more. And I agree that in these times where there's transition in the marketplace, it's always a good time to take a fresh look at your customer contracts.
Well said, as always, Rob. I hope you come back and share your wisdom in the future. As always, it's a pleasure, and I think people really enjoy your perspective, and you break it down pretty easily for people, especially the non-lawyers out there.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Charlie, and look forward to joining you again soon.
All right, that's it, everyone, for the MSP Zone. I'm Charles Weaver. Appreciate Rob joining us. If you want to go to his website, it's at Scott. What's the URL again, Rob, for the website?
It's ScottandScottLLP.com. You can find us on Google searching for Scott and Scott LLP. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Scott and Scott LLP. And you can reach me via email, rjscott@scottandscottllp.com. Thank you, Charlie.
Appreciate it. Go give them a look and make sure your managed services agreements are up to speed, and you'll thank yourself in the long run. Trust me. Until next time, this has been Charles Weaver. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.